Oi, oi, it's your boy, Jack Snack. What the hell is this card? What's going on? We're on the road. It's not even the Apex. It's just a weird-ass card. I'm not going to go long today because there's not a lot happening. Not really any boxing on. There is a WBC super featherweight title fight on. But, you know, who care? There's almost no kickboxing going on, which is a feat in itself because there's always some kind of kickboxing going on. One aren't doing anything as far as I know. No Bellator or a PFL, only the UFC, and they are phoning it in. Bit of a weird card. There's some decent stuff hidden on here, designed for before people get to the arena. But if you're wondering why it's such a bad card, it's because we're in Canada. We're at Rogers Place, which is apparently the name of the stadium. Rogers Gaff. We're all going around Rogers to watch this one. Main event, Brandon Moreno versus Amir Albazi. I'll be honest, I tried to watch some Amir Albazi coming into this weekend. But UFC Fight Pass just kept stopping the video and not playing any more of it. I was trying to rewatch the fight with Kai Kara France to remember what happened. I think Albazi's actually pulled a fast one here by disappearing for... Well, when was that fight? June of last year. So by disappearing for more than a year, he's managed to make people forget the awful decision that they were originally passionate about. I don't feel confident. I remember that he shouldn't have got it, but I don't feel confident enough to say, like, because Kai Kara France was whooping his ass or whatever, I remember almost nothing about the fight. So quite clever on his part. But he was booked to fight Moreno in February of this year, and it fell through because of him having a neck injury. Not Moreno, Albazi. Meanwhile, Moreno, coming off being the champion a little while ago, lost it to Pantoja. Lost the split against Brandon Royval, a really good fight actually, that one. And is now back against Albazi. So this kind of looks like it might not be, I'm not looking at the rankings right now, but it looks like it might not be an obvious next in line sort of fight. I feel like Kai Kara France, by knocking out Usyk in his last fight, has sort of jumped back in front of Albazi in the queue, which is probably the way it should be because, you know, he scraped the win in the first one, Albazi, and then he didn't fight for a year, which I understand if you're injured, you know, fair enough. But sport's got to move on. World's got to move on. Rewatching some of Albazi's fights against Francisco Figueiredo and Alessandro Costa. Got the finish in both of them. He doesn't fight an awful lot like a finisher, I would say. He has been finishing people. Has he finished every fight he's had in the UFC? No, he went to the decision with Zumagulov and Kai Kara France, obviously. But three finishes in five fights is not bad for a flyweight. He trains with the Basharat brothers, apparently, and you can sort of see that in him. Not the most urgent fighter in the world. Meanwhile, Moreno never had a boring fight. People love him for it. I don't think we've seen a big decline in him. I think a lot of people do think that he's declined or say that he's declined. But, you know, maybe he never wins the title back. But Pantoja just sort of has his number because Pantoja's beaten him three times now just by sort of roughing him up and running at him. Meanwhile, the much scarier Deiveson Figueiredo had a much harder time with Brandon Moreno. What was the end score on that rivalry? Oh, the first one was a draw. I thought for some reason the second one was a draw. No, draw, Moreno, Figgy, Moreno. That's a really good rivalry. So yeah, flyweights should be fun. Lots of stuff going on there. We're in a weird spot where Kai Kara France probably should have a title shot, but he's not going to get one because they're doing Kai Asakura. A lot of people mad about that, but I like the idea of bringing in a champion from another organization and bumping them straight into the title fight. Because if nobody has any excitement about anyone in the division right now, you go, oh, this outsider, and you show a load of highlights of him knocking people out, which there are plenty of from Rising, and it gives you that like exotic worlds colliding sort of feel. But these two are going to stay busy. Yeah. I want to say I hope Moreno wins, but I hope Albazi brings something interesting and has a decisive win if he's going to win, because another bad decision... You're getting into Renat Fakhrinnadov territory. Yeah, the top end of this card is just arse. You've got this main event between the flyweights, which could be all right, to be honest, because Moreno's always good. And Albazi's decent. You know, he's just, we're all just sort of still mad at him about that decision. Co-main, Rose Namajunas, who is like Rory McDonald once he found Jesus, just not fighting the way she used to fight. Versus Erin Blanchfield, who is, you know, fun grappler, but if she can't get you there, she's not particularly amazing at anything else. You got Derek Lewis two fights down, which I don't understand because he's been headlining for them until recently. Yeah, he's not on the best streak. No, he's coming off a win. Knocked out Rodrigo Nascimento in a fight night he was a headliner of. So God knows, maybe he's asked for more money. Maybe that's what's happened here. But he's fighting Jonata Deniz, who's on like an 8-fight winning streak. Beat Carl Williams in his last one in the UFC. Knocked out Austin Lane, but who hasn't? Oh, I know who hasn't. Rebellious Despan, who's just been cut. Not fought really any good fighters. It's a standard Derek Lewis opponent. Some big heavyweight schlub who's probably getting knocked out by wild swinging at some point. Caio Machado versus Brenson Ribeiro at light heavyweight? Yeah, who gives a shit? But then the middle portion of the card. Well, no, you got Marc-Andre Barriol versus Dustin Salisbury. But then the middle portion of the card. Mike Malott coming fresh off his fraud checking against Neil Magny, which was a shame because I saw that fight and I still thought he's quite talented. I just think he ran into a guy whose skills matched up with him in tough ways. But he's got Trevin Giles, who's a completely different fighter to Magny. Outside striker. Lots of side-on stuff. On a 2-fight losing streak and also recently lost a grappling match to Mike Malott. So should be safe enough for Mike Malott here to be... Because he's pretty much... It's him and Gillian Robertson, whatever her name is, are basically the two best fighters out of Canada at the moment. Which, when you think that we had George St. Pierre, and then, you know, fair enough, Rory didn't reach the same heights, but there was always something going on with Canada, and now it's just like, oh, what is going on with Canada? Marc-Andre Barriault, that's what's going on. But yeah, I like this fight. And then Ayman Zahabi versus Pedro Munhoz. That seems like quite a big step up for Ayman Zahabi. Tapology's got him at 32 in the world, and Pedro Munhoz at 15. Pedro Munhoz has been in the top 15 forever, I think, in the official UFC rankings. But he's on a 2-fight losing streak. Marlon Vera and Kyla Phillips. But I don't remember him looking awful in those fights. He's sort of been hampered by people learning to deal with the calf kick. His best days were when guys didn't know what the calf kick was. So 2016 to 2019, he was just murdering everyone. And well, the exception of John Dodson, he lost a split decision to. But man, yeah, calf kick central. Lost the split versus Frankie, and then he fought Jimmy Rivera, and they just both traded calf kicks. But then he fought Jose Aldo, who knows how to deal with calf kicks. And then he fought Dominic Cruz, who didn't let him calf kick. He had that fight with Sean O'Malley, where he actually got off some good calf kicks, and then it was an eye poke no contest, which was unfortunate. But yeah, he's lost a step. Holy shit, he's 38. I had no idea. No wonder he's losing a step. 38 in the top end of bantamweight is impressive. But Ayman Zahabi is... Wow, he's 36 himself. I was about to say he's just stepping into the role of contender. Jesus, we need some new fighters, lads. But he's on a 4-fight winning streak. He beat Javid Basharat in his last one. He actually looked really good. And Javid Basharat is a tough out for anyone. I think that's Javid's first loss. Knocked out Arichi Lang in the first round before that. Knocked out Draco Rodriguez in the first round a couple of fights earlier. Beat Ricky Tercios by just being a decent all-round fighter. He's on a great run going back to like 20... His last loss is 2019. So good for Ayman. Man, his last loss, he was like 31-4. So he was a prospect back then, and now he's just got to make up for lost time. But he seems to have found his power a little bit. Seems to be... You know, it's one of those things where when you say a fighter's found their power, it's rarely that they just learn to punch hard. It's more that it's coming together the same way that it does when you're hitting things hard in sparring, or rather in the fight. Because your hard punches often aren't the ones you throw in fights because you're worrying about the guy moving around. You take stuff off your punches, and it gets hard to... It's harder to commit to blows in a fight against a good opponent, especially if you're a thoughtful fighter who's going to check themselves and be like, oh, I don't want to overextend because he might counter me. So it takes some guys a while to just learn to let go and swang and bang. But he's the brother of Firas, so if he wins, his winning streak is a good reflection on Firas, because there's been some criticism of Firas in recent years because, you know, how do you follow up George St. Pierre? He's had more success than someone like John Kavanagh, who, I mean, you know, he's having success in the Irish scene and in Bellator, but there's nothing been anywhere close to Conor McGregor. And then you get that whole, like, would they have done just as well at any other gym? Ariana Lipske versus Jasmine I never know how to say this girl's name, Jasmine J. Don't really care about that. But Charles Jourdan versus Victor Henry, love that fight. Charles Jourdan, wild man, great high elbow, great high risk guillotine, great power guillotine. Fun on the ground, fun on the feet, going to throw 100 flying knees a fight. Victor Henry, however, never takes a break. Just keeps going, throwing 100 strikes around. The volume fighter versus the flash razzle dazzle fighter, whose razzle dazzle often gets him into trouble, let's be honest. I absolutely love this fight. This is probably my one to watch. Alexander Romanov's back against Rodrigo Nascimento. Nascimento, of course, his schedule lines up with, shouldn't line up with Derek Lewis because he got badly knocked out, but they're both getting back into action at the same time. This is always weird when you see the card and it's like the same people from a card 3 months earlier or four months earlier, and they're just in different permutations. But Romanov was a hype train that just derailed when the moment he met Juan Espino, who's sadly retired now, but Espino beat the piss out of him as soon as they got into the second round, and then technical decision by knee to the nuts. But he lost a load of weight to fight Martin Tabura, looked like shit, gained all the weight back, was like, I'm not going to diet if it's not working. Gained all the weight back for a fight with Volkov, and that was one of those ones where Volkov can look terrible in a lot of these fights. If someone takes him down, he looks terrible. But if he meets someone who can't navigate his reach, he's just going to tear him apart, because all these dudes are used to being the tallest guy in the gym, and they suddenly meet someone who is like the equivalent of them being a middleweight meeting a heavyweight. Sergey Pavlovich, I mean, they knew each other, but that was just humiliating, his performance against Volkov in the last time they fought, or the last time he fought. Wow, I just noticed that Romanov took a grappling match at, he grappled Jailton Almeida in an MMA fight and got choked in the first round, but he took a grappling match against Roosevelt Souza, who's, you know, decent, but he got heel hooked in 5 minutes at karate combat. That's where a career goes to die. But Nascimento is pretty bummy, so we'll see what happens there. Why am I spending so long talking about this fight? Oh, my boy Garrett Armfield, always on the Twitter, legend. He's fighting this weekend. He's got Sahi Saidi, guy from Canada. Tapology picture, colossal moose knuckle going on. But he's coming off two fights with Ramon Tavares. He fought him on the Contender Series, and then he fought him in the UFC. How bizarre. Fuck it, I'm losing the will with this card. The fight I care about, first, curtain jerker, first fight of the night. Jack Shaw, Welsh GSP, still only 29, so we've got time to pick up the pieces. And Yusuf Salal, one of two men to go the distance with Ilia Topuria in the UFC. And he had a really weird run because he met Ilia Topuria and then he had a couple of losses, Sungwoo Choi and Sean Woodson. Oh, and he had a majority draw against Damon Blackshear back in 2022. Left the UFC, wins five in a row outside the UFC, gets back in 2024, beats Billy Quarantillo. I think that was on short notice. And then he just beat Jarno Ahrens in his last one too. Got a performance of the night bonus. Won both of those by finish. He's a very good fighter, and he seems to be just coming into his own now. And he's only 28 as well. Meanwhile, Jack Shaw coming off the loss to Joe Anderson Brito via... Was that shin? Was that bleeding shin? That was a really weird one. But his trouble really started with Ricky Simon, because that was where people felt like he was derailed as a prospect. He had a fight with Timur Valiyev where the momentum slowed because Timur Valiyev was very good and rounded and they just sort of cancelled each other out. Before that, he'd been just dominating people for the most part. But Ricky Simon just stopped all his takedowns, beat him up, arm triangled him in round two. And then he fought Makwana Mikani, who obviously gassed in the first round and then got choked out in the second. And then he, you know, had the doctor stop his loss to Joe Anderson Brito. But that was like 2022, 2023, 2024. He's not fighting a lot. You're hoping that he's working on some stuff and maybe the wrestling's getting better. The wrestling was impressive, but up to a point, and then he hit that point and then his game relies so much on it. And the other thing that he really lacks is Zalal will tear off a good spin kick or a big punch or something like that, a big overhand that misses, but he'll try and take your head off. Jack Shaw really is the Welsh GSP because he's like, I'm going to jab an inside low kick and then I'm going to land a perfect takedown. And it's like, what are you going to do if they don't at all respect your jab or inside low kick? Bantamweight is such a strange weight class because everyone's so light, but everyone can also most people can rip heads off with punches in this weight class. If you can't make them respect your striking, you've got to do something like Aljo where it's just volume and long range strikes and attrition. But anyway, that's that card. It's mid, but it might turn out decent. I put up a film room today on Linton Vassell. Cross-wrist get-ups, reverse butterfly sweeps. There's some other stuff in there too. Great fun researching that. The annoying thing is that Bellator is essentially lost media now. If it's not been recent, Bellator's website was like was scraped by PFL. So it used to have links to all the fights on YouTube in unlisted playlists and things. That's gone. You go to the Bellator website now and you get just, if anyone's had a fight in PFL, they show you that. And they won't even show you most of them. But, you know, you used to be able to find all of Linton Vassell's old fights. I was desperate to find his fights with Emmanuel Newton, Mo Lual, where he was younger and smaller, but he was still doing weird shit. Like he almost Americana'd, he almost won a title fight by Americana from Mount having rolled through from a Kimura on the bottom. But no, nowhere to be found, because Bellator belongs to PFL and PFL has no interest in like putting them online. They were talking about sending them to Max, which you can't get in the UK and which has a pretty good detector of VPNs as far as I can tell. So yeah, that's annoying. But I hope they don't sue me over using some of their footage to show how cool Linton Vassell is. I'm going to cut it there today because there's no point talking about fights that aren't happening. Next week's a little bit better. We got one more fight night, which also isn't very strong. And then we got the dumbest pay-per-view of all time in UFC 309. But there's good stuff hidden in there, and there's good fights on other cards that aren't the UFC in between. There's some boxing, there's some kickboxing. So we have stuff to talk about. Oh, shout out for AIGA, A-I-G-A, that Russian organization that was like team grappling. They did their North America qualifiers, I think it was. This lad, is it Francisco Lowe? Like Leandro Lowe, but Francisco. Hits a cross-grip scissor sweep to knock the guy over and make him base out on one hand. Rolls over into the armbar. Unbelievable. Very, very cool. Go look it up. It's fantastic. It'll be on Flow Grappling's YouTube, I imagine. And there was another great one where Gio Martinez, who's like 40-something years old now, I'm sure. He's got the salt and pepper hair. But he ended up on someone's back, and he's an Eddie Bravo student. It's like one of Eddie Bravo's favorites. And he starts trying to twist to the guy. And Eddie Bravo is in the crowd, and they showed him, and he's mic'd up, and he goes, "Yes, twister." And then he goes, "No, it's illegal. No twister, no twister." It's so funny. It was like watching Bobby the Brain Heenan realize that his guy's about to get DQ'd. But yeah, it's a slow weekend of fights this weekend. But that gives me time to read some history, put together some more stuff, have some fun. I'm your boy, Jack Slack. You're my boy. And I'll catch you next week. Cheers.